Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tainus Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. As we approach our new Masechta, Maseches Tainus, the name of the Masechta basically captures the theme behind the Masechta, and that has to do with fasting. But if we focus in more with regard to what the fasting is about, it has to do with the lack of rain. That's the main topic that we will be dealing with. The lack of rain in the land of Israel is of critical importance, and as a result of that, this would give rise to the need for fasting. And exactly when the fasting takes place, is it dependent on a particular date, and other details of who fasts and how many fasts, etc., those of course will be dealt with in the course of the Masechta. The Mishnah here opens up with the issue of Gevuros Geshamim, or Mazkirin Gevuros Geshamim. In more common terms, that has to do with the insert into the Shmona Esrei, into the second bracha of the Shmona Esrei, Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem. Before we begin the actual text, as you look at the Mishnah itself, you'll notice the appearance of triangles, one of our geometric forms signifying a series. And on the side, we provide a topic heading that we call the Nosei, and Mivneh, a structural note. Often we combine these two into one note. Here, you can see on the side of the Gemara, the Nosei Mivneh heading reads, with a triangle featured, Deois Tanoim, different Tanaic opinions, Me'emosai Oimrim Betfilas Shmein Esrei Gevuros Geshamim. At what point, what date, do we start inserting into the Shmona Esrei reference to Gevuros Geshamim, Vahainu Mashiv Horuach Umoyrid HaGeshem? The term Gevuros Geshamim will be part of the Gemara's discussion. What does it mean to? What is referred to? Where does it come from? So now we turn to the Mishnah. Me'emosai Mazkirin Gevuros Geshamim. From what date do we mention Gevuros Geshamim, Mashiv Horuach Umoyrid HaGeshem in the Shmona Esrei? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Miyom Tov Horishon Shel Chag, from the beginning of Sukkos. Chag is a term that you find throughout the Mishnayos that is another way that the Mishnah refers to the holiday of Sukkos. So, from the first day of Sukkos, Mashiv Horuach will be mentioned. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Miyom Tov Ho'acharon Shel Chag, from the last day of Sukkos. We often refer to that as Shmini Atzeres. Omer Lo Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua addresses Rabbi Lezer. In our markings, we often use a squiggle underline to denote a back and forth discussion, a give and take type discussion. So Rabbi Yeshua turns to Rabbi Lezer. He says, Hoyel v'ein hagishomim elo simin klolo b'chag. Since rain falling during Sukkos is a reflection of a negative situation. Simen Klola is the sign of a curse. And for those of you who have learned Maseches Sukkah, you might recall that the Mishnah gives an illustration of how rainfall during Sukkos is a bad sign. So since rainfall during Sukkos is a Simen Klola, Lama Hu Maskir. Why, according to you, is mention made of rain? Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem is Morid HaGeshem, the one who, the Almighty, is the one who was responsible for rainfall. Why mention rainfall? Omar lo Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer responds, Afani lo amarti lishoyul, elo lahazkir Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem bo'inoso. I am aware of what you're saying, and I too did not say that one should ask for rain, but maskir, to mention the praise of the Almighty as the one who brings winds and causes rainfall, but also in the season of rain. The season of rain, and we mentioned before the land of Israel, is broken basically into two, the year is broken basically into two parts. There's the rainy season, sometimes referred to as the winter season, and the non-rainy season, sometimes maybe referred to as the summer season. So the Oinoso, the time of rain, is in the Tishrei Cheshvan part of the year, which is the part of the year, the time of year, that follows the high holy days of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and it extends, the rainy season extends till approximately to Pesach time. So Rabbi Lezer says, I wasn't saying to ask for rain. I know that my opinion is that we're maskir Gvirus Geshomim from Yom Tov HaRishon, from the beginning of Sukkot, but mentioning or praising the Almighty as the one who is the source or the cause of rainfall is not the same thing as asking for rain to fall, which of course would be a simen kloa. Amar lo, so Rabbi Yeshua says back, in Cain, according to your approach, la'olam yehe mazkir, then mention of rain as a praise of the Almighty, as the one who produces rain, can be done all year. Why, according to you, would one stop, as we actually, everyone agrees, we stop Pesach time? Ein shoyalim es hakshomim elo somach ligashomim. Now, this phrase, we can explain it with the final explanation. However, in order to appreciate the Gemara's questions along the way, it would be better for us to just leave it as something not explained in any detail. But this phrase in the Mishnah would translate as, we don't ask for rain other than at the time that is near the rain, the expected rainfall season. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Now we have a triangle here, and you'll see why he represents a third opinion with regard to maskirin gevuras geshamim. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, however, lifnei hateva. Over the Flame of Teva is the one who leads the davening. We call him the Shliach Tzibor, the Chazen. Other terms, other common terms, might be used to refer to him, but he is the one who leads the davening, the prayers. So the one who is over the Flame of Teva, B'yom Tov Ho'achron Shel Chag, on Shmini Atzeres, Ho'achron Maskir, Ho'rishon Eino Maskir. The Achron is a reference to the one who leads the Musaf davening, the Musaf Shmoyne Esrei. So the one who does the Musaf, he is Maskir Gevuras Geshomim, but the Shachris Shliach Tzibur, the Shachris Oiver Lifnei Ateva, does not. B'Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach, when it comes to a half year later, the first day of Pesach, HaRishon Maskir, the one who leads the Shachris, will mention the Mashiv HaRuach Umorei Geshem, Ho'achron Eino Mashiv. By the time you get to Musaf, there is no mention made of Mashiv HaRuach anymore in the Shemona Esrei. The Gemara here opens very similar to the way the Gemara in Brochus opens up. There, the Gemara, the Mishnah in Brochus, Meimasai Kura Neshma Barvin, when does one say, from what point does one say Kriya Shema in the evening? And here we're asking, from what point does one maskir Gevuras Geshomim? Now, when you open up with a question like that, from when is this done, that presupposes that we know that there is such a thing done. For example, in Brochus, there is an assumption that we know that there is a mitzvah of Kriya Shema, and the Mishnah asks, well, when does one do that on a daily basis? So when you're asking, when does one do something, you're presupposing that it's known, or it has been established, that there is, that there exists an obligation, and the only question that remains is, when does one execute that obligation? So when we learn our Mishnah, we don't see that the Mishnah establishes that there is a need for being maskir gevuras geshomim. So that must have been established somewhere else. And that's what preoccupies this Gemara. On the side, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. You can see a house of shape is featured, one of our series markings. In this case, we're going to illustrate shlavim. We've written on the side shlavim, stages, lahasbir, to explain mahu bosis shel hatano. What is the bosis, the basis of the tano l'she'elas mei mosai, for his asking from when, kloimar. Minayin lanu shiyesh chiyuv lahazkir gishamim. From where do we know that there is an obligation to mention the praise of God as one who brings the rain? The al kach sholim me'emosai mazkirin oisam. Based on which we would then understand the question of from when do we make mention of the rains. So where are we coming from? Where is this Tana? Where is this Mishnah coming from? That's the Gemara's opening question. Tana hecha kai dekotoni me'e mosai. The Tana, the author of our Mishnah, where is he positioned? Where is he standing that gives him the basis of asking from when? Once again, where has it been established that there is an obligation to make mention of the rain that we here are asking from when do we carry out that obligation? So the Gemara answers, now this is stage one, the Gemara will reject this approach shortly, but first stage, Tana Hosam Koi. The Tana is standing, is coming off of what it says over there. Now, the over there means Maseches Brochas. The Katoni, Mishnah teaches in Maseches Brochas, Mazkirin Gevuros Geshomim B'Tchias HaMesim. And here we've dashed underlined the main point in this source. The rest of the source is less important for us. But it says in Maseches Brochas that one makes reference to God as the source of rain in the Brocha of Tchias HaMesim. That's the Brocha that is the second bracha of Shmona Esrei that ends off Baruch Ato Hashem Mechaya Meisim. But at the beginning of that bracha, after you say Ato Gibor V'chulei, you then say Mashiv HaRuach, part of the second bracha. So Gevurus Geshamim, which we said is a reference to Mashiv HaRuach Morid HaGeshem, is in that bracha. Two more additions to the Shmona Esrei, which are not the focus of our discussion right now, but number two, V'shoyalim B'birchas Hashanim, we request the rain to actually fall in the bracha of Birchas Hashanim, in one of the middle brachas of the Shmona Esrei, V'havdola B'choinen Ados, and on Saturday night, Motzoi Shabbos, we mention Ato Choinan Tanu in the bracha of Choinen Hados, the first of the weekday brachas. Vekotoni, now, and based on the Mishnah and Brachas, we have our Mishnah, Me'emosai, from when do we mazkirin Gevuros Geshamim, from when do we make reference to Gevuros Geshamim, that was established there in Maseches Brachas. The Gemara asks, V'lisni Hosam, why not teach this halacha, the our Mishnah, the timing of Gevuros Geshamim over there, in what's in Seder Zroyim. Brachas is part of the first of the six orders of the Mishnayos. The first of the six orders of Mishnayos, we call the Shas, the Shisha Sedorim, is Seder Zroyim, which the bulk of that order deals with agricultural related halachas. The first of the tractates happens to be Maseches Brachas. My shno deshavke ad hocha. What is the reason that the Tana waited? Shavke has left the matter of timing regarding Gevuros Geshamim ad hocha until here in Seder Moed. Wouldn't it have been more appropriate to teach the two in the same, at least in the same order of the Shas? So the Gemara answers or changes its position and says, Elo Tano me Rosh Hashanah Solik. In fact, our Tana here in Maseches Tainis Meimosai Maskirin Gevuros Geshamim is coming off of a previous tractate in the second order of the Shas in Seder Moed. More specifically, Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Seder Moed deals with the holidays of the Jewish calendar. So Seder Moed has in it Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and it also has Maseches Tainis. So our Mishnah is coming off of something of a more local nature, Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Again, let's read that again. Alotana me Rosh Hashanah Solik. Solik means he's coming from Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Disnag. What does it say in Maseches Rosh Hashanah? It says Uvachag. Chag is Sukkot, as we mentioned earlier. Nidoinin al Hamayim. There is judgment concerning the water of that will fall during the year. There are different judgment days that are cited in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Everyone's familiar with Rosh Hashanah as being the day of judgment of people. So on the holiday of Sukkot, there's judgment regarding how much rain we will have. The Aidi Detona, and along with that it says Uvachag Nidoinin al Hamayim, that it says that in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, which is part of Seder Moed, Tono, so within the same Seder Moed, it teaches right here in Maseches Tainis, may Amosai Mazkirin Gevuros Geshamim. As a result of our awareness that we are judged concerning water, it's logical that we should pray for water, and in the course of praying for water, we praise the Almighty as He being the source of rainfall. So, based on that which is taught within the same order, that which is taught within Seder Moed, namely that there is judgment concerning water. Since there is judgment concerning water, logic has it that we should pray and praise the Almighty regarding He being the source of water. Now, you can see we have a slash mark, which indicates that the following is a new trend of thought. On the side, we have a topic heading, and we've written under the mokor, under the topic heading, no say, ha-mokor l'bitui kvurus geshamim. Here the Gemara is looking for the source of this phrase, or this term, gevuros geshamim. Gevuros, from the word gibor, has to do with might and strength, and the power that lies behind He who can give, who can produce rain. Velisni, Gemara asks, Velisni me'emosai mazkirin al hagashamim. Why doesn't the Mishnah teach in a simple term? From when do we make reference to the rain? My gevuros geshamim. The phenomena of rain referred to as gevuros geshamim, the strength that is behind causing rain. Omar Reb Yochanan, Mipnei Sheyordim Begvura. It is because rain comes through strength. Shenemar. Now we have a posuk in Eov, Perek Hei Posuk Tes, and as we go on in the Gemara, we're going to see some posuk citations, and it's not going to be immediately clear after we cite these verses. It's still not going to be clear how gevura is associated with rainfall. The Gemara will ask, well, I still don't see it after citing these two psukim, and then the Gemara will give us an answer. We call it a long answer. You can see we've marked that off in a couple of lines. So Rabbi Yochanan says that rain falls begvura shenemar. The posuk says in Eov, Perek Hei, posuk Tes, Oise gedolois v'ein cheker v'niflois ad ein mispar. The Almighty does wondrous workings that are innumerable. Uksiv hanoisein motor al pnei eretz v'shoileach mayim al pnei chutzois. And you have another pasuk that says, following Perek Hei Posuk Tes, Perek Hei Posuk Yud, in other words, the next Posuk says, He who gives forth rain on the face of the world, that motor is rain, and sends water on all the areas. Very nice. So we have a Posuk that describes the Almighty as one who provides rain. My Mashma, where do you see here any reference to rain and gevura, and the strength of the Almighty in providing the rain? The Gemara answers, and note that it's a long answer. It takes a number of lines to develop. Omar Rabo bar Shiloi, Asya cheker cheker mi briosoi shel oilam. through a gezera shava, through a word comparison, using the word cheker, we will eventually see how the word gevura is associated with rainfall. But it takes a little work. Ksiv hacha. It says over here, oise gedolois ad ein cheker. That we saw in Pasuk Tes. In Pasuk Tes we note that the word cheker appears. Uksiv hasam. And it says in Yeshaya Perek Mem, a Pasuk that deals with the creation of the world. It says, Halo yodato im lo shamata leke oilam Hashem boirek tzois haaretz lo yi'af velo yi'go ein cheker lesvunasai. For our purposes, the literal translation is not of central importance right now, but the pasuk there in Yeshaya deals with the Almighty as the creator of the world, and it says, ein cheker lesvunasai. There is no end to the depth of his wisdom. It's infinite. So far, what have we accomplished? We see the word cheker in the context of rainfall. That we saw in Eov, Perek Hay. We see the word cheker in the context of the creation of the world. Uksiv. And it says also regarding the creation of the world, Mechin Horim Bekoichoi Ne'ezar Begvura. Now we've dashed underlined the word Begvura. What does that do for us? It shows that Gvura is something associated with the creation of the world. And with the creation of the world, we see the term Cheker. So whatever you see now in the context of the creation of the world, we transfer that over to rainfall. Through the word comparison, cheker, cheker, and by creation of the world we find gvura. Therefore, when it comes to rainfall also, the term gvura is appropriate. On the side, we presented a little flow chart, if you will. You can see we start off cheker by geshem, and then you have cheker by creation of the world, and you have gvura with regard to creation of the world, and memela, and as a result of that, gvura is applicable to geshamim. Hence, gvuros geshamim. And now a new question. You can see that a slash mark appears indicating a new trend of thought. On the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we've written, Umino lon demazkirin geshamim betfila. From where do we know that mentioning the Almighty as the provider of rain is to be done in the Shmoyne Esrei? The Gemara, Umino lon debetfila. From where do we know that it's done in tefillah? The Sanya, we have a Tanaic source, the Avo es Hashem Elokechem ulo'ovdoi b'chol levavachem. This pasuk should be familiar to many of you. It's from the second paragraph of the Kriyat Shema. It comes from the Torah in Dvorim Perek Yud Aleph. The pasuk exhorts us to love the Almighty and to serve Him with all of our hearts. Ezo hi avoido shehi balev. What kind of service is there that can be described as in the heart? Haviomer zu tfila. It's service through prayer. Prayer, the source of human prayer, lies in the heart. Of course, one mentions, he says, he pronounces the words, but the source, the seat of prayer is in one's heart. So we see prayer mentioned over there in Kriyat Shema, Uksiv Basrei, and following that pasuk it says, "Venosati metar tzachem bitoy yoyre umalkosh." So we see that rainfall is juxtaposed with prayer. Hence, reference to rain is to be done in the Shmone Esrei. Now we have a slash mark. Because again, this is a new trend of thought. There is, of course, a general connection. In the upcoming piece of Gemara, mention will be made of the Almighty being responsible for rainfall. But it's a new trend of thought, hence we use this slash mark. Before we go further, we also have a structural note to pay attention to. A new geometric form appears, a crown shape on the side of the Gemara. We have the Nosei Mivneh heading where we've written. You can see the crown is featured. Deois, opinions, Legabi Hamaftechois, regarding the keys. Shehem Biyodoi Shel HaKadosh Baruch V'lo Nimsru L'Shaliach. There are certain phenomena that only the Kodesh Baruch, only the Almighty takes charge of and doesn't give it over to various agents or emissaries, what maybe we would refer to them as malochim or the like. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Gimel Maftechos B'yodoi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are three keys that are in the hands of the Almighty. And when we speak about in the hands of the Almighty, the Tosfos clarifies, we're not coming to exclude the possibility that on a particular occasion he might give charge to an agent regarding one of these matters on a one-time basis, but as a general rule of thumb, these three keys are not given over permanently to one of his agents, but he, the Almighty, retains direct sole supervision over these three matters. Now, as those of you who are familiar with our Gemara markings, Shurim, are well aware that we often make a disclaimer that when dealing with topics describing the behavior of the Almighty, the way he conducts himself, and other heavenly, esoteric matters, the true meaning behind these things is of a much deeper nature than we are capable of dealing with in the context of the Gemara markings Daf Yomi Shiurim. But we try to stick more or less to the translation, leaving it to each one of you who are listening to realize that there's much greater depth to these matters than we are presenting over here. So let's continue with the Gemara. Three keys, Rabbi Yochanan says, are in the hands of the Almighty, Shelo Nimsuru Biyad Shliach, that are not given, using Tosfos as explanation, that are not given on a permanent basis to an agent of his. The Eluhain, and the following are the three special matters. Mafteach Shel Kishomim, the key behind rainfall. Mafteach Shel Chaya, the key of birth, the ability of a woman to actually produce a child and give birth to the child and enabling it to come out of her as a newborn. Umafteach shel tchias amesim, and the key of the resurrection of the dead. And now the Gemara goes and points out, how do we know these points? Number one, and the numbering that we have here corresponds to the list we just gave you. Mafteach shel geshamim, dichtiv, the key of rainfall, as it says in the following pasuk, Yiftach Hashem l'cho es oitzor ha'toy v'eshashamayim loseis metartzecho bi'itoy. And here we use a dashed underlining to emphasize the key word, the proof. It says in this pasuk that Hashem will open up his wonderful storehouses, treasuries in the heavens, and give forth rain to your land at its time. So the point is Hashem, he is the one that opens up the heavens, bringing down the rain. Mafteach shel chaya minayin, the key of childbearing. From where do we know that is something that Hashem is directly involved with? Dichtiv vayizkor Elokim es Rachel vayishma Eileh. We're at the top of Omid Beis. Vayishma Eileh Elokim vayiftach es Rachmo. Again, we dashed underline the reference to the Almighty. Hashem, the Elohim, he is the one and not someone else. And this has to do with Rochel Imenu's bearing of a child. Number three, Mafteach Shel Tchias HaMeisim Minayim, the key of resurrection, of bringing the dead back to life. From where do we know that is in the hands of the Almighty? Dichtiv, Vidatem ki ani Hashem bepischi es kivroisechem. And you will know that it is that I am the Almighty. I am the Hashem upon the opening of the graves and bringing forth the dead back to life. Bemarovo Amri. Here we have a second opinion, hence we call this a number two they say af mafteach shel parnosa, a fourth key, the key of livelihood. Dichtiv poiseach es yodecha umasbia lochol chayrot. Song. This pasuk is familiar to many of you who recite the Ashrei passage from Tehillim Perek Kuf Mem Hei, chapter 145, where the pasuk praises the Almighty as the one poseach es yodecha. You, the Almighty, and not an emissary, not an agent, opens your hand and provides sustenance for all living creatures. Now, the Gemara asks, that's very nice that Marova has their opinion number four, but what about Rabbi Yochanan, who mentioned only three keys? Rabbi Yochanan, my time aloka choshiv laha. According to Rabbi Yochanan, why was the Maftech of Parnosa, the key of livelihood, not mentioned as in the exclusive realm of the Almighty, where he doesn't give it over to agents? Omaloch, so Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, Gishomim Nami, my reference to rainfall includes Hainu Parnosa. Through rainfall, so there is naturally the world produces its bounty and the whole cycle of income, of commerce, starts from that point. So the reference to Gishomim includes Parnosa, includes the issue of livelihood. Before we continue with the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, the Nosei, She'ela, a question. Lefi Rabbi Eliezer, the Maskirin B'Yom Tov Rishon Shel Sukkis, according to the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, whom we saw in the Mishnah, that says that we're Maskir Gevurs Gishomim on the first day of Sukkis, Ha'im Maskirin Kvar Balaila, Oirak L'mochros Bayoim. Do we mention Mashifo Ruach already from the nighttime? In halacha, in Jewish law, the night precedes the day. So that when we speak about the first day of Sukkot, the day is ushered in upon nightfall. So do we make mention on the during the nightfall, during the Arvis, the Ma'ariv, evening prayer service ushering in Sukkot, or do we wait till the morning for the mentioning of the Mashi Paruch and the Gvuros Gishamim? Once again, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer simply said that we make reference to Gvuros Gishamim on Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag. What do we mean by Yom Tov HaRishon, the first day of Sukkot? Is it the night, or do we wait till the day? Now, the Gemara. The Gemara has a Dibur HaMasul from the Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Mi Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag v'chulei. Ibaya Laho. The question note is a long question that you'll see has two parts to it, Aleph, Oy, Beis, and the Gemara will present the question and then analyze it. Ibaya Laho. Rabbi Lezer Mehecha Gomer Law. Rabbi Lezer, from where does he learn, what is the basis for his idea concerning the mentioning of Gevuros Gishamim? Milulav Gomer Law? Does he base himself on the mitzvah of lulav? Now, lulav is taken by day. Oy minisuch hamayim gomar lo. Or does he learn it from the special water libation that was performed on the holiday of Sukkot? Now, we elaborate a bit more. Milulav gomar lo. Does Rabbi Lezer learn from lulav ma lulav bayom, just like the lulav mitzvah is done by daytime, af hazkora bayom, so too the mention of rain is done by day, oidilma minisuch hamayim gomar law, or does he learn it from the laws that are associated with water libation? Ma nisuch hamayim meorta, just like water libation is something that can be done at night. The Omar Mor, the Pasuk regarding libations, there's wine libations and water libations. The Pasuk says, Umin chasam viniskehem. And we learn from that, afilu balayla. It's something that can be done at night. We should point out, generally speaking, sacrificial offerings are done by day. In other words, the slaughtering of an animal, the collection of its blood for the sprinkling on the altar, these are sacrificial activities. They are done by day. The pasuk makes reference to the minochas, minchos of niskehem. These are meal offerings and wine offerings that accompany sacrifices. Niskehem in our context includes not only wine, but also the water libation. They represent a departure from the standard, and they can be done at night as well. So, just like niskehem is at night, af haskara meurta, so too the mazkir gerus kishamim can be meurta from the night time. As far as what aspect of water libation is done at night, so Rashi gets into some greater detail concerning that matter. But for our purposes, without getting bogged down in details, just note that there is precedent for nighttime when you deal with libations, the pouring of liquids on the altar. When it comes to the water libation, that's something that is unique to Sukkos. So the question is very simply, Rabbi Elazar, who mentions from that Maskir Gruz Kishom is on the first day of Sukkos, at what point in time of that first day of Sukkos? The Gemara continues. Toshma, we respond, we answer, Di Omar Rabbi Yavohu, Lo Lomda Rabbi Elazar Elo Milulov. Rabbi Yavohu says that the Tano, Rabbi Eliezer, learned Gruz Kishom's mention from the Lulav. Iko the Amri Rabbi Avo Gemara Gomir Law. Some say that Rabbi Avo knew this as a tradition. The Iko the Amri Masnisa Shmia Lay. Others say that Rabbi Avo was familiar with a Tanaic source, with a Braisa that led him to this conclusion. Mahi, what is that Tanaic source? The Sanya, now you'll note there's a very long Tanaic source. And in the course of this source, you'll see at the opening of the source already what would be Rabbi Avo's basis for saying that Rabbi Eliezer associated Gruz Kishomim with the Lulav. And by the way, that means that mentioning Mashi Baruch Bernageshim would take place only by daytime, not at night. Not the night ushering in Sukkos. From what point do we make reference to the rainfall? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mishas Hanochas Lulav. From Mishas Netilas Lulav. Let's correct ourselves. From the point that you Netilas Lulav, from the point that you take the Lulav. Before we go any further, of course, we have a structural note that needs attention. Triangles begin appearing, and on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we have a triangle featured. Braisa in Deos Shainois Binyan Zman Haskoras Kishomim. In this Tanaic source, you'll see a number of opinions regarding when we start making reference to the rainfall. So the first opinion was that of Rabbi Lezer, and he says from the time that one takes the lulav, well, that is done during the daytime. The pasuk says, "Ulekachtem lochem b'yoyim harishon." You take the lulav on the day of Sukkos. The daytime hours, not at night. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Mishas Hanochoso. When do we make reference to Gevuros Geshamim? From the point that you put the lulav down. That's a reference to you complete the mitzvah, you finish the mitzvah of lulav on the seventh day of Sukkos. Omer Rabbi Eliezer, Hoyol. Now again, we make reference to the use of the squiggle underline. We're going to see a bit of a back and forth discussion between these two authorities. So Rabbi Elazar says, "Hoyil the arbos minim halolu einon boim elo laratzis al hamayim." Since the four varieties are reference to the lulav, esrog, hadasim, and aravas that comprise the mitzvah of lulav, that these four plants are brought in order to appease to the Almighty, the Ratzos, to appease, to serve as prayer, as supplication to the Almighty for rain. Ukeshem sharba minim halalu I efsher bohem below mayim, and just like these plants cannot grow without water, kach I efsher leolam below mayim, so too the world cannot continue without water. So that is Rabbi Lezer's explanation of the mention of rain in the connection with the taking of the starting of the mitzvah of the lulav. Omar lo Rabbi Yoshua, v'lo gishom mebechag eino elo simen klola. We saw this in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yoshua says, But rainfall during the holiday of Sukkot is a negative sign. It's a sign of curse. When rain falls, that chases people out of their Sukkot. So they can't even fulfill the mitzvah of the holiday of Sukkot, dwelling in the Sukkot. So it's a cursed sign. Omar lo Rebbe Eliezer, afani lo amarti lishoil elo haskir. I too didn't say we ask for rain. All I said, we mention rain. We praise the Almighty as being the source of rain. Ukeshem shetchias hamesin maskir kol hashana kula v'eino elo bizmano. And just like resurrection of the dead, we make reference to that all throughout the year, even though there's a specific time for that to take place. Kach mazkir in gevuras kishamim kol hashana. So too, we mention rain. One can mention rain throughout the year. V'einon elo bizmanon. And even though they have a specific time. And by the way, the bracha of rain of mazkir in gevuras kishamim, namely the bracha in which we say mashivurach meredeshim, is in the same bracha where we make reference to the resurrection of the dead. Lefikach imbo lahaskir kol hashana kula maskir. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer mentions that if you were to mention Gevuras Geshamim all year round, that would be okay. We're not asking for the rain, we're praising the Almighty. And now, along the same lines, Sukkot, even though it's not a simin brucha, it's not praiseworthy to have rain during Sukkot, we nevertheless mention the praise of Hashem as being the source of the rain. And what enables us to do that is that we're not asking, we're simply praising. There's a big difference. She'elas Kishomim does manifest itself in the Shmon Esrei, but that one doesn't do on Sukkot. Rebbe Oimer. Oimer ani Misha'o she mafsik l'she'elo kach mafsik l'hazkora. Rebbe says that from the time you stop asking for rain, you also stop the mention of the praise of Hashem as the producer of the rain. And he does not agree with the idea of being able to say it all year round. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beser Omer, B'sheni b'chag hu maskir. Another opinion regarding when we mention Gevuras Geshamim from the second day of Sukkot. Rabbi Akiva Omer, B'shishi b'chag hu maskir, from the sixth day of Sukkot. Why? We will see. That's something the Gemara deals with later. Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Yeshua Omer. Rabbi Yehuda, quoting Rabbi Yehoshua, says, and this, by the way, is Rabbi Yehuda that we saw in the Mishnah. Ha'over lifnei hateva, the one who is going to lead the prayers, lead the Shemona Esrei, b'yom tov ha'achron shel chag, on the last day of Sukkot, we call that Shmini Atzeres, ha'achron maskir, ha'rishon eino maskir. The one who is going to lead the Musaf says, Mashivorach Mir Negeshem, but not the one who is leading the Shacharis. B'yom tov rishon shel Pesach, a half year later, when it comes to Pesach, so on the first day of Pesach, Rishon Mazkir, the one who says Shacharis, the one who leads the Shacharis davening, will mention Mashivruch Mir Negeshem, Ho'achron Eino Mazkir. But when you get to Musaf, you stop mentioning the Morid Hageshem. Shapir Ko'omar Le Rebbe Eliezer Le Rebbe Yehoshua. We have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This draws your attention back to the star parallel to the star above. So the Gemara is noting that Rabbi Eliezer seems to be making a strong point that you can mention Gevuras Geshamim all year round. Now, he emphasized, I'm not asking for the rain, I'm simply praising Hashem, and praise of Hashem as the producer of rain can be done all year. And now, what about Rabbi Yehoshua's response to that? We didn't see his response to that in the Tanaic source itself, but here the Gemara provides it. You'll notice we have a long answer marking. This is Rabbi Yeshua's response. Omar loch Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, after hearing Rabbi Eliezer's point about comparing rain to Trias HaMesim, just like Trias HaMesim has an official time, a specific time, but yet we mention it year-round, Rabbi Elazar says, well, we can do the same thing with regard to the rainfall. So Rabbi Yeshua says back, Amalok Rabbi Yeshua, Bishlamot Chias HaMesim Mazgir. Granted, I understand, fine, that you say Chias HaMesim year-round. Dechkule Yoyma Zmanei Hu. Any day is its time. In other words, we believe in the resurrection of the dead, and when is that going to take place? Any day. Elo Geshamim, Kol Eimas Da'asyon Zamnayu, He? Would you say the same thing about rainfall, that whenever it comes, that's its time, that's a good time? V'otnan, we have the following Tanaic source that says, Yotza Nisan V'yordu Geshamim Simen Klolohem. When the month of Nisan, which is in the spring season, and again, we focus on the land of Israel, when Nisan passes and rain falls, Simen Klolohem, that's a sign of curse. Shinema, the Pasuk says, Halok Tzir Chitim Hayom V'chulei. And in the context of that pasuk, once you have the grains that are fully developed and are harvested, the rain fall on that will ruin them. So rain isn't similar to Tchias HaMesim. We can't say that whenever it rains, it's good. It's not like Tchias HaMesim. Hence, Rabbi Yeshua's point of view was that we don't mention Gevuras Geshamim all year round. If the basis is paralleling it to Tchias HaMesim, that parallel doesn't exist. Here we have a quote from something above. We have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a squiggled arrow. Parallel this with the similar mark before, and you'll see where this quote comes from. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Oimer, B'sheni B'chag Hu Mazkir. On the second day of Sukkot, we mention Gevuras Geshamim. My time of the Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, what is the basis of his opinion? It seems like a rather arbitrary time, the second day of Sukkot. Where did he get that from? So the Gemara answers, Desanya. We will see in the source a basis for Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's second day, and we'll also see reference to Rabbi Akiva and his similarly arbitrary sounding day, sixth day of Sukkot. They will tie in the Gevuras Geshamim to the water libation that was done on Sukkot, on the altar that stood in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So the source says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Oimer, Nemar B'sheni, on the second day of Sukkot. And it should be noted that when it comes to the Torah's mention of Sukkot and the various sacrifices that were brought on Sukkot. Sukkot, in contrast to Pesach, every day of Sukkot had a different number of sacrifices. If we say in general terms, had a different sacrifice every day of Sukkot, as opposed to Pesach, which every day had the same type offering made. On Sukkot, though, there are changes. And not only are there changes in numbers of animals, but even in the reference to the Nesachim, there are certain word changes, spelling differences, and that is the basis of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, and we'll see also Rabbi Akiva. So it says, on the second day of Sukkot, V'niskehem, V'nemar b'shishi u'nisocheha. And on the sixth day of Sukkot, you see the word referring to the libations spelled Nisocheha. And we're using a squiggle underline to highlight the unusual word, the unusual, let's say, letter that's inserted or used in the word. Rashi points out that the pasuk could have read Biniska, Niska, as opposed to Niskehem. So the extra letter arouses Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's attention. So it says on the second Niskehem, it says on the sixth day Unisocheha, V'nemar B'shvi Kamishpatam. The mem in that word is kind of unusual. It could have said Kamishpat. So the mem is something that draws his attention. And if you look at the word, the letters we just squiggled on the line, you see mem, yud, mem. Hare mem, yud, mem. I hope that's clear, and through our markings, these are the unusual letters in these words. Unusual, we mean that the Torah could have spelled out or said niska in the simple form, and it, yet in these on these days it changed the form, you come out with these added letters, mem yud mem, harei kan mayim. That spells out the word water. Mikan remez lenisuch hamayim min haTorah. This is a hint to the need for doing a water libation, pouring of water on the Mizbeach on the holiday of Sukkot. It's a hint. The Torah doesn't spell out that on Sukkot you shall do a water libation, but it hints to it over here. After the brackets, the Braisa continues with Rebbe Akiva's approach. Within the brackets, the Gemara interrupts, but it has direct relevance to the opening question, of what is the basis of Rebbe Yehuda ben Becerra. So the Gemara now in the brackets, Umay shno b'sheni denokat. What is unique about the second day that Rebbe Yehuda ben Becerra sought or mentioned as the beginning time of Maskir Gvuras Geshamim? Dechi remizi luhu bekra b'sheni hu de remizi. The remez, the hint to the water libations. When is it hinted in the pasuk? The hinting starts on the second day of Sukkot. Hilchoch b'sheni madkirinon. Therefore, when it comes to the mashif haruach, the praise of Hashem as the source of water, the source of rainfall, we do that on the second day, because that's when the hinting of the Torah to the water libations starts. So we associate matters of water with water, water with water, rain, it's water libations and rain. And when did the hinting start? On the second day of Sukkot. And that's why Rebbe Yehuda ben Becerra says that we start mentioning Mashiv Ruach HaMoed Geshem on the second day of Sukkot. Rebbe Akiva Omer. We continue in the Tanaic source. Rebbe Akiva says, B'shishi b'chag hu maskir. On the sixth day of Sukkot, we make reference to the rainfall. Shinemar b'shishi, on the sixth day of Sukkot, the Torah says, U'nisocheha. And this is a word in the plural grammatical form. U'nisocheha, and it's libations. B'shnei nisuchen ha'kosev medaber. The pasuk is referring to two libations. Echod nisuch hamayim, ve'echod nisuch hayayin. One, a reference to the water libation, and the other to the standard sacrificial wine libation. Now, on the side of the Gemara, we have a mivneh, structural note. We'll see a dashed underline that's like in that form. B'shnei nisuch makosav medaber. You'll see that that is highlighted with that with this marking. Mekoreis lenisuch hamayim. These are sources for water libations. The double underline will be used to highlight a repeat form. We often in markings try to highlight symmetry or structural phenomenon that are repetitive in nature, and you'll see that this marking is used here and on the upper part of Gimel Omen Aleph as well. What we'll be seeing are references to the two libations. And when we see sources for this, we're going to raise this question of who says that you have two different libations. And here the Gemara asks that question. The word unisochel that Rabbi Akiva cited, libations in the plural, maybe both are wine libations, that there's two wine pourings that accompany the Sukkot sacrifices. Again, the Ema Travayu Dechamra, why doesn't Rabbi Akiva say that both libations hinted to in the word unisochel are wine, hence no reference to water? Answer. Sovar lo krubyuta b'mesera di omar remizi maya. Rabbi Akiva accepts Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra's approach that there is a hint to water. You can't deny water. The Gemara, and now we should note, we have another marking, the numbering that you see to the side of the Gemara, the one and on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, number 2, are the references to this question, this repeat question of maybe both are water. So we have a response right now is that Rabbi Akiva holds, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Sera, that there is a reference, there's a hint to water. So the Gemara asks the obvious question at the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, E Savar Lok Rabbi Yehuda ben Sera, if Rabbi Akiva holds like him, name or kavosei. So why doesn't he go lock, stock, and barrel like Rabbi Yehuda ben Sera and say that the Mashiva Ruach is on the second day of Sukkot? That's when you start. Kosovar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds, Kiksiv Nisuch Yisera. When does the Torah mention that there is an additional libation? Bashishi hu dichtiv. The Torah says that on the sixth day is when you will find the additional libation. So that's what gives rise to Rabbi Kiva's Shita, that you start mentioning it the first time that the Torah says there's a second libation. As far as what the second libation is, it's with regard to that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, that it's hinted to through the letters Mem, Yud, Mem. The Gemara continues now with a Tanaic source, and it represents another opinion as to what the origin of the Nisuch Hamayim is. Tanya, Rabbi Nosson Oimer. He quotes a pasuk, "Bakodesh Hasech Nesech Shechor Lashem." That's a pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Chof Ches. And you see, Hasech Nesech. This expression is a double expression. B'shnei Nisuchin Hakosiv Medaber. The Hasech Nesech is a reference to two liquid pourings. Echod Nisuch Hamayim ve'Echod Nisuch Hayayin. And again, you can see we emphasize with that dashed underline the expression B'shnei Nisuchin that we employed earlier on the bottom of Beis Amid Beis. Here you see a reference to two pourings, and they are, one is Echod Nisuch Hamayim ve'Echod Nisuch Hayayin, one in water pouring and the other wine. Question, like we asked before, V'eimo Trevayu Dechamro, why doesn't Rabbi Nosson say that they're both the standard, a reference to wine pourings? I think my answer is, Im Kain, Lichtoiv Kro, if the double reference was to a double wine pouring, then the Pasuk grammatically should have read, Oi Hasech Hasech, Oi Nesech Nesech, just double the same exact word. My Hasech Nesech, why the change in the word? Shamis mino chad demayo v'chad dechamro. The change in the word indicates two different kinds of pourings. One a water pouring and one a wine pouring. And we should point out that as far as the details behind the water pouring on the altar during Sukkot is the subject of attention in Maseches Sukkot, toward the end of Maseches Sukkot. That is dealt with more extensively. The Gemara asks, Eloha desnan, Nisuch Hamayim Kol Shiva. We have a Tanaic source that says there was a water pouring all 7 days of Sukkot. Money. Who would be the author of that idea? We're going to go through names that are all familiar to us, and the diamond that you see is introduced on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading. This is Shlavim, stages. Levarer mi hu hadea shesoiver nisuch hamayim hoya kol shiva. Who is the author of this Tanaic source that nisuch hamayim took place all 7 days? Who's the author? Money. Who is he? E. Rabbi Yoshua. If it's Rabbi Yeshua, we saw in the Mishnah and in the Brisa regarding the time of Haskoras Gishamin. So if it's Rabbi Yeshua, Neimo Chadyuma, Nisuch Hamayim would be 1 day. He mentioned, his opinion was that where Maskir Gevuras Gishamin, the mention of rainfall, which we've been tying into the water libation issue, well, he said, you mentioned the rain on the last day of Sukkot. So if that's it, just on the last day of Sukkot, it must be there's one day of water libations. Again, making this connection between water libations and the mentioning of rainfall in the Shemoneh Esrei. So if this source were offered by Rabbi Yeshua, you would only have one day, the last day of Sukkot, for the water libation. And we mentioned earlier that water libations is something that's unique to the holiday of Sukkot. Let's continue. E Rabbi Akiva, Trey Yomi. If the Nisuch HaMayim source were authored by Rabbi Akiva, well, he would suggest only 2 days, and that's it, 2 days of water libations. After all, Rabbi Akiva said that the hint to water libations was in the word Unisacheha, and that was found in the Torah in the context of the sixth day of Sukkot and its sacrifices. So only you have the sixth day and the seventh day for water libations. E Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, well, if according to him, when did he say you start mentioning the Gevurah Geshamim, and where is the start of the hint to the water libations made? Well, Shisayomi, you would have 6 days. Why? Because he said that the reference to the water libations was from the extra mem, uniskehem, that you found on the second day of Sukkot. So you count from the second day till the seventh day inclusive. You have 6 days for water libations. So the source remains right now without an author. The source saying 7 days, according to Rabbi Yeshua 1 day, according to Rabbi Akiva 2 days, and according to Rabbi Seir 6 days. So the Gemara answers. Now we have, again, take note of the diamonds. We're continuing, we're doing the stages and trying to figure out who the author is. Lioilom Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra he. The source will be like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. However, we have to add new information. Usviro leik Rabbi Yehuda demas nisen, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, found in a Mishnah, Disnan, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Belug Hoya Menasech Kol Shmoina. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that there was a water libation all 8 days, meaning the 7 days of Sukkot plus Shmini Atzeres, plus that last day, giving you a total of 8. Now, we're in the middle of a construction right now. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra then adopts Rabbi Yehuda partially. He adopts his opinion that there was a water libation on the eighth day. Umapik Rishon Umayel Shmini. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, who, not to be confused with Rabbi Yehuda of this Tanaic source, it's a different person. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, subtracts, or literally takes out of the list. He takes out the first day, because according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, the first reference to water libation was on the second day of Sukkot. However, he brings in Shmini. So that according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, which is now a hybrid type opinion, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra accepting the other Tana Rabbi Yehuda that there was a water libation on the eighth day of Sukkot. So if you do your counting from the second day till the eighth day, you will find, if you count inclusively, you'll find 7 days of water libations. The Gemara asks, Umayishno Rishoin Deloi. Well, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, who says that there is no maskir in Gevurah Geshamim on the first day of Sukkot, there's no dechi remizi mayim. When does the Torah start making a hint to water, to the water libation? B'sheni hudu remizi, from the word uniskehem, which was on the second day of Sukkot. So we don't have a hint to water libations on the first day of Sukkot. Hence, there is no water libation, and you're not going to mention Gevurah Geshamim either on the first day. Well, Shmini Nami, regarding the eighth day of Sukkot, Ki Remizi Mayim, the remez to the word, to the water libation found in those extra letters, B'Shvihu De Remizi, it ends on the seventh day, in the word Kamish Patam, which was written in the Torah regarding the seventh day of Sukkot. So, since Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra's shita, his opinion, is based on the mem yud mem hint in the psukim, that ends on the seventh day. So, how can you say that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra will accept the other Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, that there was a water libation on the eighth day. The end of the remez is on the seventh day. And if you're going to count from the second till the seventh, you're only going to have 6 days of water libation. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is not a candidate for authorship of the source Nisuch HaMayim called Shiva. Elo Rabbi Yoshua he. So we're going back to an old opinion, an opinion that was the first diamond that we see over here. The author of the Nisuch HaMayim Kol Shiva will be the Tano Rebbe Yehoshua. Unisuch HaMayim Kol Shiva, it is true that Rabbi Yehoshua says that we're Maskir Gevurus Geshamim only on the last day of Sukkot. However, there's a split over here between when we praise Hashem as being the source of rain, namely on the seventh day of Sukkot, and the actual water libations that took place on the altar, that was done all 7 days of Sukkot, starting from the first day till Hoshana Rabbah. And that is learned, Nisuch HaMayim Kol Shiva, Hilchisa Gemiri Law. It's an oral tradition. Hilchisa Gemiri Law, we call Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. The Yom Rabbi Ami, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Nechunyo Ish Bikas Beis Chorsan. Rabbi Yochanan quotes this authority, Rabbi Nechunya, from a place called Bikas Beis Chorsan. 3 points. Only one of them is germane to our discussion right now. 3 points. Eser Netios, the issue concerning Erev Shemitah, Erev Shvias, and how much of a tree field are you allowed to plow, etc. That's the realm of Eser Netios. Not important for us right now. Arava, this is a Sukkot practice of taking the Arava in the Beis HaMikdash, that practice, Arava, and Nisuch HaMayim. This is what's important for us, that's why it's dashed underlined. Nisuch HaMayim during each one of the 7 days of Sukkot, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. This is an oral tradition. So that Rabbi Yehoshua, although Maskir and Gevurus Geshamim is done only on the last day of Sukkot, the water libations that took place in the Beis HaMikdash on the altar, that was done throughout the 7 days of Sukkot, and that's based on an oral tradition, not based on Psukim or hints in the Psukim, rather this oral tradition. So at this point in the Gemara, when you survey what we've seen so far as sources for water libations, we've seen what appears to be 4 different possibilities. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, the Mem Yud Mem. Rabbi Kiva, the word Unisocheha. Rabbi Nosson, Haseich Nesech. And Rabbi Yoshua, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in the context of accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.